We are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I am Mark Houck, your host. You are listening to The King's Men live here in the studios at 1570 AM Holy Spirit Radio, Doylestown, Pennsylvania. We are live right here in Doylestown today. It's good to be back on this Feast of St. Valentine, Valentine's Day, also the Feast of St. Cyril and Methodius. We're also airing live today through our 1420 AM audience in Chester County and Coatesville. So it's a blessing to be with you once again to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the great gift of our manhood through the King's Men Apostolate. I am the founder of this apostolate. We're blessed to begin this ministry, 2004, me and a co-founder, Damian Wargo, and I, and he has since moved on from the ministry, but we continue what we've done, which was to bring men together on a weekly basis to grow in holiness. This apostolate grew not only from a small men's group, but grew into a national outreach. We have over 50 groups now. We just launched our 41st group in Phoenix, Arizona, our third group in Phoenix. We have groups in South Korea. We have group, I should say, in South Korea. That's thanks to our deployed servicemen and women, but it's a men's group there on that base in South Korea. And we also have men in Europe meeting on a weekly basis and all around this wonderful land of ours here in the United States. So we are also on Facebook Live today. It's something we're trying out. If you go to Facebook webpage for the King's Men or page for the King's Men, you will see my mug in the studio, a live webcam. We're trying it out for the first time, so we're going to continue to do this and hopefully refine this. So if we're looking a little like we don't know what we're doing with a live webcam, it's because we don't, and we're cutting our teeth today. But Frank in the studio here is helping us, and we got the equipment to do it, and we're gonna make that available to you if you want to post anything or have a question on our Facebook page, the King's Men there. You can certainly do that. I got Justin Harper, our director of operations, out in Missouri, monitoring that page for us as well, along with Frank. So we'll continue to do that with these live programs and bring them to you. And we'll actually, as we move along and progress in our experience here, we'll actually have probably a post-show time where we can actually really let our hair down and talk about things, all things Catholic and masculine. So let's begin our program in prayer as we invoke the patron saint of the King's Men Apostle. That's St. Augustine, Doctor of Grace. St. Augustine, a man's man. His prayer to the Holy Spirit: breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. And we ask St. Augustine to pray for us. Of course, St. Joseph, patron of fathers, patron of the universal church, to pray for us. Of course, St. Cyril Methodius today, a feast day in the liturgical calendar, to pray for us. But in the hallmark world of things, but also in the Catholic Church, we have a feast of St. Valentine. We don't know much about St. Valentine, but we do know he was a priest living in the 3rd century who was martyred. Now, in the time of St. Valentine, there was a persecution of the Church, of course. We had an emperor, Claudius, who banned marriages, because the Christians were spreading and the message was spreading through marriage and through the fruit of the life-giving sacrament of marriage. Babies were being born, and we had growth in the Christian movement, if you will, right? So there was a ban on marriage, but Saint Valentine, or priest, Father Valentine, I guess, would secretly marry people. And so much so that he was doing that, he got the attention of someone in the emperor's court. I think he actually brought in a marriage to someone in the court, if my memory serves me correctly. And the emperor got wind of it, had him arrested, and of course had him beheaded. But before he did that, while he was in jail or prison, he had left a final letter. And in that final letter to someone who he was ministering to, mentoring, a spiritual directee, if you will, or a couple that he married, he said, "Love your Valentine." And so when we see St. Valentine's Day and we say, "Will you be my Valentine?" or "Love your Valentine," it's stemming from this man who gave his life. And this is the true story behind Valentine's Day. This is the true history of why we do this. Yet it's become sort of a Hallmark holiday. Valentine's Day is a Catholic holiday, if you will, a Catholic feast. So we celebrate that today, and we ask St. Valentine to pray for us. What I want to talk about today on the airwaves with you is this concept of love and what it means and how the word is abused, how this virtue, this theological virtue of charity, love, is really misunderstood and abused in our usage. So I want to unpack that a little bit for you. I want to talk about what is true love. What does it mean to truly say you love someone or something? I want to get into that. I want to dive deep. I want to give the manly perspective on that, because truly, love is a man, the God-man. God is love, St. John says in his epistle. God is love. If God is love, we know that to be true, then we know that the God-man is love incarnate. God is love. Jesus Christ is love. The man, the God-man, he was made a man. And so there's a manliness that goes with the word love. Yet how many men today, I used to be guilty of this, how many men today struggle with saying that word? Perhaps they struggle saying that word to their spouse. There's an old Irish story that goes that this Irish man was married for 35 years, and his wife goes to their priest, and says, "Father, I'm so disappointed." And in the company of that husband, she says, "I'm so disappointed. He never tells me he loves me, Father. He never tells me he loves me." I'm putting my Irish brogue on this, okay? "He never tells me he loves me, Father. Why doesn't he tell me he loves me?" And the priest says, "Why don't you tell her you love her? It's important that you tell her that you love her every day of your life. Why don't you do that?" And I don't know what the guy's name was, but he says, "I told her 35 years ago that I loved her. If I change my mind, I'll let her know." How many men today are subscribing in a similar way to that? Perhaps taking for granted their spouse, their loved one. We need to hear the words. Those words are powerful, but we also don't want to misuse those words or use that word as a manipulation tool. How many men today, I could probably be guilty of this at times, are guilty of using that word to get something that they want? How many young men today are playing at love to get what they want? And the old chastity talks that we would give to young people, we talk to them in high schools and colleges and even middle school, and we'd say, young men have a high sex drive. Okay, is what it is. Men in general have a higher sex drive, a higher love drive. Women have a higher emotional drive than the sex drive. In other words, the emotional side of affection and intimacy is higher for a woman. So they love to hear that word, if we could say it that way. Women love to hear words of affection, of love. So boys will play at love to get what they want, and girls will play at sex to get what they want. And there's two people misusing each other. This is important. This is important today. This is important as a St. Valentine's Day. Are you taking your spouse out, your girlfriend out because, well, it's just the right thing to do because it's Valentine's Day? And so you go out and you pay all those marked up prices. But should you not be celebrating and taking out your loved one, the one that you call your helpmate, more often than just one day a year, celebrating that love? I think we should. I'm guilty of not doing that enough with my beautiful bride. Need to do more of it. Need to talk about these things. I also want to talk about the origins of love. As I said, God is love. St. Teresa of Avila, the doctor of the church, again said, if you want to know what true love is, look at a crucifix. That's true love. That's the measure of our love. And if we're going to use that word for another person, we must keep in context in our frontal lobe that is what we're saying, that I love you to the point of this, which I'm pointing to a crucifix in the studio here today. I love you to the point of death, that I will lay down my life for you. I love you. I will sacrifice for you. I will always do what's best for you and not myself. Is that not what Jesus did for us? I'm here for you. I'm here to die for you. I'm here to take on your sins and die for you, to save you, to invite you into divine sonship, to reveal the Father. The cross says all of that. And when we say the words love, we must keep that in mind, that that's truly what it means. But sometimes we just will say it very casually. Like the Eucharist, I was saying to my son today after we left Mass, I said, son, do you know that in surveys across the country, in our country, that 80% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of the Eucharist? 80%. They said, son, they think it's a symbol. They don't think it's really the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord. This is true. It's become very pedestrian. The Eucharist is no longer the real presence, but a symbol. So sad. And so like the Jesus in the Eucharist has become very casual, the word love has become extremely casual. And so on this feast of St. Valentine, as we reflect on romance and the people in our lives who we've expressed our love to as children, as family members, as boyfriend, girlfriend, fiancé, engaged couples, married couples. Let us use that word and give it meaning. That doesn't mean overusing it, but that means that when we say it, we truly mean it. And I don't know if we can truly fulfill all that. Sometimes it just becomes habitual. I love you. Good night. I love you. I love you. And there's nothing wrong with just saying it and getting used to it, and getting a comfort level with that. But however, let's mean it. Let's mean it when we say it. Let's remember what it means to say you love. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I love pizza. I love my car. I love my dog. I love Disney World. I love sunsets. I love rainbows. It's like I think of my little daughter, Kitty. When we asked her the other day, What does happiness smell like? What does happiness taste like? And she said, cupcakes, Daddy. Cupcakes. So, you know, we can kind of put, you know, food and toys and adult toys when it comes to our things that we use to entertain ourselves as adults. Cars, distractions, motorcycles, boats. Whatever it may be, we may say, I love these things, but truly it's not. We're not saying we love, because if we understood the word love, we would say, I like these things, or I'm attached to these things, probably be more correct. Or I am you know, just bonded to these things, right? We wouldn't say that. We wouldn't say that. We use the word love. We just interchange that. It's like the word sex has become not what it means. The word sex means gender, right? Of course, sex means male or female. And that word, and of course, gender has totally been under attack. And that's a program for another time. But just see how we just, you know, we take the word choice and we make it about killing a baby. We take words in the English language and we use them for our benefit. We manipulate the word to manipulate our situation, to usher forth what we want. It becomes very selfish. If you're listening to Father Larry before I came on the airway, he was talking about pride being the root of course, all our sin and just, you know, this love of self, right? And I think sometimes with the word love, we must say, do I truly love myself or do I love the other, right? There's an old acronym with the word family. When you think of family, I learned this at Franciscan University years ago, but it's an old acronym for family. Forget about me, I love you. That's family. Forget about me, I love you. That's a good thing, right? In family, we should be thinking about the other, right? Our wives, our children, our grandparents, our parents, our extended family, our brothers and sisters, cousins, our aunts, our uncles, you know, that's family. And yet we are a family as the body of Christ. And so we should really think about that in terms of all people, Jew, Muslim, Gentile, right? Christian, Catholic, Evangelical, Baptist, you know, whatever, that we are all members of this body of Christ. And we are family, essentially, right? God, you know, made some of us in the family a little less easy to deal with. So we struggle with family members. We struggle with people outside of our sphere of influence. We struggle with people who have a different opinion than we do. Our temperament gets in the way, and we say, well, they're over here, and I don't like them. But in truth, we must love all, right? I heard it once said that we love God to the measure that we love our worst enemy. So if you have a lot of enemies, if you have a worst enemy, you don't have much love for God, right? Because God loved all, and he loved all till the end. And we're defining love today. We're using love pretty loosely today. You go to the Walmart, Target store, pick up a card. You'll see love explained in many different ways, sometimes in a funny way, sometimes in a very romantic way, sometimes in a very scriptural, faith-based way. But ultimately, the rubber hits the road when you look at a cross. I mean, all cards probably should have a cross on. If you want to, not that I would propose this to Hallmark, but in other words, if you really want to define love, it should be the crucifix. And that's, you know, not going to sell cards, of course. But it is true, and it is the reality, and truth is truth, whether you believe it or not, that this is what love means. And when we come back after our first hard break, we're going to unpack this even further and how a misunderstanding of love can lead to all sorts of disordered things and all sorts of negative experiences and trials and tribulations and sufferings and anxieties and disorders, emotionally, depression. There's so many things. When we get this love thing wrong and how to love properly, we develop so many things that are dysfunctional for our family, so many things that are toxic to our journey, and that really put our soul in jeopardy, our salvation in jeopardy. So we have a great model. We have a great church that to help us kind of get there. Church is a broken entity, right? It's a imperfect vessel. The body of Christ is not the perfect vessel. That's what Justin Harper, my colleague at the Kingsman, has taught me. The body of Christ, we must always remember, is imperfect, not the true body of Christ, which is, of course, perfect. But this imperfect body, this mystical body here on earth, is imperfect. And so we're going to deal with all that. So we'll come back. We'll talk more about it.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Summers and Zims. From its modest beginnings in 1930 as Summer Brothers Plumbing and Heating in Gap, PA, to its merger with Zims Sales and Service in 1973, Summers and Zims has grown to be the recognized leader in the design, installation, and service of mechanical systems for industrial and residential needs. They can be contacted at 610-593-5129, or you can visit their website at sumzim.com. On Saturday, February 22nd, St. Francis Cabrini Parish, located at 325 South Oxford Valley Road in Fairless Hills, PA, will be hosting a designer bag bingo in Monsignor Woods Hall. The doors open at 6 p.m. and the first game begins at 7 p.m. All proceeds will directly benefit our parish. Tickets are $30 in advance and $35 at the door, so save the date for this popular event. Ms. Audrey Wilson will be our MC for the evening, and Mr. Rick Traley's will be making his famous pizza, and everyone is sure to have a great time. We hope to see you there. For more information, please call the rectory at 215-946-4040. A journey of faith, hope, and love. Learn about the remarkable life story of Father John Nguyen, Father Chung, and explore his journey from Vietnam to his grace-filled vocation to the priesthood on Wednesday, February 19th, 2020, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at St. Maria Goretti Chapel, 1601 Durstine Road, Hatfield, PA. To register for this event, contact angela.mcclellan at stmariagoretti.net. There is no cost to attend.
We are back. We get this Facebook Live thing going. I was like, you can talk to them on the breaks. I'm like, I can? How do I talk? And then it's like silent movies because you don't know what to say. Here we are back in the studios live today on the Feast of St. Valentine, also Feast of St. Cyril and Methodius. And we're talking about love. And I got my crucifix to show our audience that are tuning in to us. This is what love means. You got to look at a crucifix, St. Teresa of Avila said. So we must measure ourselves by that witness, by that example. And in the Kingsmen radio program and now Facebook Live, we are always going to be talking things through the lens of masculinity, through the lens of our fatherhood, the lens of our vocation as men, to be a leader, a protector, and a provider. And I said prior to the break that we're going to talk about all the distortions that come when we get this love thing wrong. When we get this love thing wrong, we have a lot of dysfunctionality. We have a lot of disorders. We got a lot of compulsions. We get a lot of confusion, anxiety, stress, disorders, depression, you name it. Because when it's inward, when it's focused on self, when love is focused on self, it's not the right approach to relationship, right? We must be other-centered. We must die to self. We must be thinking, what is best for the other, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in friendship, whether it's in job, whether it's in church, community. What is best for the other? You know, just boil it down, this time of year, we're dealing with sicknesses and flu-like symptoms and problems. You want to go to Mass, but at the same time, you don't let anyone know there that you're sick, and you shake hands, and you know, you do things. Perhaps maybe you just say, I can't shake today, kiss a piece, I'm not feeling well, or just, no. Or maybe put a mask, the cover your mouth if you need to go to Mass. Maybe stay home. Maybe the loving thing to do would be to stay home so that you don't get everyone else sick. And you say, well, I can't. I got to fulfill my Sunday obligation. Well, not if you're sick. You know, right? You don't want to infect the whole parish. So many. I'm speaking of things that, you know, are kind of affecting my family and the greater community here in the Philadelphia area. But I'm sure it's happening all around the country. We must think of the other. We must think what's good for the other. Not what's good for me, not what feels good to me, not what I want to do. Hey, this is me, you know, and everyone has to deal with it. So when we get the love thing wrong, when we get the word of love wrong, we misunderstand its true meaning, then we become prideful, focused on self. Not what God wants, but what I want, as Father Larry Richards was saying right before this program today. It's what I want, not what God wants. So if we're called to marriage, we're called to relationship, and on this day where we celebrate relationships and romance and intimacy and affection, let's approach that word with love with a better understanding. And that's what we're trying to do today, is extrapolate a little bit more to that meaning. And love means suffering. You know, as the priest said, you know, there's with the three rings in the vocation of marriage, the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and suffering, right? There's some truth to that, because when we die to self, there is a degree of suffering in a good way. When I die to myself, I grow in holiness. That's good for me, but it's painful too. Sometimes it's very painful. It's very purgative, purifying. It's like a fire, right? It burns a little. It hurts, but it feels better in the end. It's a purification process of dying to ourself. You know, this is bittersweet, the cross, right? The cross is bittersweet. Jesus, I'm sure, didn't feel good on the cross in the sense of how it felt, but he knew it was his mission, and he knew that this is what he needed to do, and he was called to do, and this was why he came. It's like in the wonderful movie, The Passion of Christ, Mel Gibson shows us through the actor Jim Caviezel, Jesus embracing his cross. And I think even one of the other thieves that, you know, yells at him or rebukes him, says, "Why are you embracing your cross?" Or maybe that was another movie that I saw with Christ's passion. But nonetheless, like almost like mocking him, like, why? But this is why he came. This is why he was brought into this world. This is his true purpose. This is what is going to bring us salvation. And so there's redemption, a redemptive element of that. So your love needs to be redemptive. It needs to redeem the other. It needs to heal. The word love should bring healing and not bitterness or resentment. When you tell someone you love them, it should fill them with joy, right? Or a sense of peace. When a father and a mother speak to their child words of love and affection, it should calm their soul. I love you. It's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. Be at peace, child. God loves you. And he'll never forsake you, never abandon you. However, when we get that wrong, when we start looking at it through the lens of the world, the world's understanding of love, Hallmark's understanding of love, we see that it could be used for our gain. What am I going to get out of this? You know, in a very selfish, self-centered world where we have people who play at love to get what they want, and they truly don't want or mean what they say, and they push people's buttons and they get what they want in relationship, or they push people their buttons in extended family relationships, friendships. Well, say what another person wants them to hear, or what they think the other person wants to hear, when really there's no real heart investment. That's probably a good way of understanding this. It's a heart investment. Where is your heart? Show me your heart. Is your heart about the other? Is your heart about doing what's best for the other? Or is your heart about what's in it for you? And I think this is where compulsive behaviors and addictive behaviors and all these things, because we get a warped presentation of love, whether it's through our sexuality or through, again, attachment to things, house, lifestyle, car, you know, worldliness, the latest and greatest iPhone. You know, you got the new iPhone? I love it. It's amazing. It's awesome. I could do anything with it. And then we get caught up in that. And then our iPhone, like mine here today, travels with us wherever we go. And as I like to joke with men on my retreats sometimes, or when I'm giving talks, I look on the back of an iPhone, you see a I don't have it because I have a cover. You see an apple with a bite out of it. And of course, we know that in the Garden of Eden, there was a fruit, a forbidden fruit. We don't know if it was an apple per se, but I thought, isn't that an interesting logo? It's a beautiful, it's a great logo, by the way. Awesome. It hasn't changed since the beginning. It's the same logo, which tells you how good the logo is. However, think about the cell phone and think about the disordered attachment that people have towards their cell phone. So much so that it follows us wherever we go. Where's my cell phone? You end up in crisis if you can't find it. A little guilty here. But on the back of the iPhone is a bit apple. And I say to men, this is a tool. It can be used for great good, but it's also a tool that can be used for great evil. Majority of pornography today is accessed through the cell phone. The abuse, the bullying is done through the cell phone. Cyberbullying is done through the phone. It's great evil. I think it's the primary tool of the devil today. That's my humble opinion. I blogged about it a couple years ago. I think this is the primary tool of the devil. Now, it doesn't mean it's intrinsically evil, as I said. But we don't even tell people, this is the disordered manifestation of the word love. Instead of telling someone we love them, we text them, I heart you. Wouldn't it be better to maybe write them a letter, write them a love note, or say it face to face? Now, sometimes we're not in a place where we can, so I get it. Or use the cell phone where FaceTime, where soldiers are deployed overseas, and they can FaceTime, here's a great good, and you can see your children, you can say, I love you, I miss you. That could be, again, there's just always two sides of the coin there. But I think the warped lack of communication and the warped ways that now we show love, you know, men holding doors for women and men protecting women and men covering them, whether it's the provision of life or, just from the evil that surrounds them. You know, have you ever been in the company of a woman and you hear people cursing around a woman? Wouldn't it be best to succor that situation, to protect women like a chivalrous knight? Protect women, just say, please, don't speak like that in the company of my wife, my children, please. Or get up and leave. Come on, we're going to go. If it's a movie and you hear that language, come on, we're leaving. Or we're at home, we're not watching this. This is not good. Garbage in, garbage out. So we allow through our worldliness, everyone's warped manifestation of love and behavior, what's appropriate, to kind of filter into our life. And we start to adapt and change and say, well, this is get with the times and we don't show love like this anymore. Why not? Why don't we show love like we used to? Why don't we write letters? It's a sign of holiness, as I heard it once said, people who will write letters, because it takes time and care and attention and effort. Now, I'm not saying, hey, Mark, you know, you're on Facebook Live now. Here we are. Hello, everybody. You know, get with the times. You know, you can send an instant telegram and, you know, and have all these bells. Okay, fine. You know, yes, those are cool and those are good things to do. And it's, you know, the new millennium and, you know, all these wonderful things. Do it. That's fine. But also the tried and true, you know, the gentleman. When a woman comes into a room, do we stand up? A woman comes in the room, stand up and acknowledge the company of the woman. We don't do that. Your wife sits down at the table. Do you get up and pull the chair out for her? Do that today, men, when you take your girlfriend, your fiance, your spouse out. Go over, pull the chair out, let her sit in, and then as she raises up, slide her in. Take her coat off, put her coat on. Open the car door for your wife. I'm just getting in the habit of doing that. It's the proper thing to do. It's the loving thing that no one does that. You watch. Just do a social experiment and just watch it. watch it. And the engagements that you see at restaurants when you go out, people are tuned out. People are on their phones. Kids are on their phones, have earbuds in. No one's talking. No one's praying. Is there anything more intimate than praying? Is there anything that we can do that's more intimate than inviting others into prayer? I don't think so. I don't think so. We're inviting the divine into our life. There's nothing more intimate than that. And we've gotten away from that. And I know I'm on my horse today, and it's Valentine's Day. And, you know, I'm not perfect here. I'm not on Facebook Live saying, you know, look at me. Hey, just do what I do. I struggle with this all the time. I have to constantly remind myself. And deeper conversion, as Father Larry was saying, every day, deeper conversion to become the person Christ created me to be, right? To live my faith in action, in my vocation as a married man, as husband, as father, with my children, as co-worker, as evangelist, as pro-lifer, you know, to always be approaching for the other, what's best for the other, not what's best for me, not what feels good to me, not what makes me feel good, not just what is socially acceptable or politically correct. Here we are. We're heating up with the political stuff now, right? It's getting to the now. The mudslinging is beginning and has begun, and we're going to tell this. You know, do you ever see how lack of love is in the political arena? No one loves anybody. It's all about self. It's all about what feels good to me and what makes me look good. Okay, I think I would say it's been around in the beginning. I remember reading about, you know, one of the early presidents, you know, had a duel with Alexander Hamilton. Who was the one that had the duel with Hamilton?
Burr.
You know, Burr. He ran vice president, right? Yeah. Vice president. Aaron Burr, right? And Aaron Burr kills Alexander Hamilton in a duel because of this mudslinging stuff. So Hamilton didn't like Burr. And Burr didn't like Hamilton, and apparently Hamilton said some things that were really detrimental to Burr's advancement as governor of New York or something.
It was attacks also on his family over time, so, you know, a variety of things, but it was all personal, yes.
Yes, right.
And if you haven't seen the Broadway show Hamilton, great thing to check out.
Is that what it's about?
Yes.
Oh,
well, it's
God.
About Hamilton's life, but yes, it's a big piece of it.
So Burr doesn't end up on the $10 bill, but Hamilton does. Right?
That is correct.
Well, but he did die from that duel.
Yes, he did.
Burr, yeah, and apparently Burr, it wasn't the first time Burr was in duels.
That is correct.
And it was outlawed eventually. It might have even been outlawed at that time. They were still doing it, but I think shortly thereafter.
Oh, strange concept.
Can you imagine if we had that today?
Wow, that would make for an interesting election cycle.
We have nobody in Congress. Well, we're going to come to our second hard break, and thanks, Frank, for giving us that information. So Facebook Live now, you're educated on Burr and Hamilton, and my son, because whom we homeschool, taught me about that, and Frank, who, of course, is well-educated, told us something. So Hamilton is a Broadway show.
Oh, it's a great Broadway show.
Really?
One
it's
of the
only
best.
In New York?
No, it's traveled. I've seen it on Broadway, but it's been in Philadelphia. It's been
really.
Oh yeah, it's a fantastic show.
I gotta see it. All right, so that's a little plug. Obviously, Aaron Burr had a lack of love for Alexander Hamilton, but then we're just talking about Love Day. We're talking about St. Valentine's Day. When we come back from our heartbreak, we're gonna go try to dive a little bit deeper into what this means, true love, and we'll try to just borrow that for ourselves today and try to lend it to our evenings, whatever that might be, whether it's flowers for our spouse, whether it's...
Well, speaking of which, you can even bring Hamilton into that, which is the love his wife had for him. And the reason we even know about Hamilton...
Help if I turned on my mic. You know, the reason we even know about Hamilton has to do with the love his wife had for him and all the stuff she brought out after his death to document his life.
Really?
Yeah, it's fascinating. In fact, a lot of people say the show is about her.
Wow. Good stuff there. Good data point. So there we are. We're going to go to second break right now. We'll be right back, and I'll be entertaining the Facebook Live audience in 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
What should I wear?
Should I take the highway or go through town?
Do I pick up the kids early today?
The average adult makes thousands of decisions a day.
Most are small, but some could be life-changing. Before you get behind the wheel, impaired by drugs or alcohol, make the right decision. Decide to call a friend. Decide to call a cab. Decide to download a rideshare app. But don't decide to drive. For more information, visit PennDOT.gov/safety. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Inspire a young person to be a champion for life. I'm Rhea Gallagher of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, and this is Pro-Life Notes. If you know a junior high or high school student, please encourage him or her to take part in our Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation essay contest. Contestants must write a pro-life essay on abortion, infanticide, or euthanasia. Winners will receive cash prizes. Their award-winning work will also be featured in our periodic newspaper, Lifelines. I have read these essays over the years, and they are simply incredible. It's amazing how young people can use their words to explain the impact of anti-life policies on their generation. For complete contest rules, visit our website at www.paprolife.org. Student contests, just one more way the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation is promoting the cause of life. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Joe DeFinis of DeFinis Insurance and Financial Group, an exclusive agency with Nationwide, providing auto, home, life, and commercial insurance, located in Roxborough with offices in Montgomery and Delaware counties. Joe can be reached at 215-483-4040. That's 215-483-4040.
Welcome back. We're in the last 15 minutes or so of this program. We're doing Facebook Live today. Justin Harper is monitoring us. Hey, Justin, how you doing? I was just talking with Frank about Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, and we were just saying right before break that, you know, in the mudslinging that's going to be going around, and it's already starting, and it's probably going to get worse with the town halls and the debates and stuff. You're going to see a lack of love, a lack of charity, and you know, it's disappointing. It's disappointing. I don't think anyone would get elected probably if they called anyone out on that. Mike Huckabee seemed to be a more charitable guy and did fairly well a few years ago, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, is our nation ready for someone to be charitable like that? I don't know. I mean, as Father Larry was just saying prior to the break, if Jesus were alive today, how many of us in the Catholic Church would reject his message? And we say, oh, how could that be, Mark? You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. But Jesus was always convicting, as this Father Larry was saying. He was always convicting. And he would be convicting us for our lack of charity, even within church. You know, we're praying with one another at Mass on Sunday, maybe daily Mass, but our charity's lacking as we're driving on I-95, or our charity's lacking in our decisions for business or in our extended family. Father Larry was talking about even a priest who swore off his relationship with his brother, and his brother was dying, and Father Larry encouraged the priest to reconcile with his brother, and he didn't. And yet, you say, why don't you know this? You know Christ. You know, you're a priest of Christ. How do you know that this is not something you should do? But yet, so many of us are unable to let go of grudges. And so as we talk about, you know, the political sphere, there's a lot of grudges. And so, we could spend a whole program on that. We don't need to go into that area. But it's coming. And it's toxic. And it's toxic to our men's groups. You know, sometimes the political schedule comes into our men's groups, our Catholic men's groups, and we find ourselves morphing away from, you know, virtue and what we're trying to grow in, and just having debates over the political arena and things that are going on. And it's fine in the sense of, like, it's okay to deviate every once in a while as a point of context or reference. However, to mudsling further, and so often our groups will mudsling these guys and disparage these guys and calumniate these guys who we don't even know. Like, isn't it easy to judge, you know, like a Donald Trump or a Bernie Sanders or, Joe Biden? Isn't it easy to judge them and put them in a box and say, well, this guy's this way, or how could you vote for that guy? But do you really know the heart? And only God knows the heart. On this Feast of St. Valentine's, it's time to just love for the sake of just love, right? For the sake of being Christ to one another. And yet on this day, we want to tell those who are closest to us that we love them. And perhaps through the worldliness of just Valentine's and the Hallmark holiday that it's become, everyone gets a Valentine's Day card. Well, I mean, maybe that diminishes the value of love. I don't know. I'm throwing that out there. Maybe when we send our kids to school and all the kids hand out little Valentine's cards and will you be my Valentine? They have 20 Valentines that are given. You know, I don't. Maybe we just train their brain to think like everyone's a Valentine. Or I have love. I love everyone the same. Well, we love everyone because they're our brother and sister in Christ, and we're members of the body of Christ. But we don't always love everyone to the same degree. There's degrees of love, isn't there? I mean, I love my wife and my children differently than I love my parish priest or parishioners in my worship community, right? I love them too. I will help them too. But I'm going to lay down my life for my wife and my children before anyone, for the good of them, for the good of my spouse, my bride. So we, again, are we teaching our children to love everyone the same and love, have a misplaced compassion for people choosing to love disorderly? If I can say, is that right? Disorderly? In a disordered way? Is the culture teaching us to tell everyone that love is the same? That love of one man with another man or woman and another woman is the same? These are hard questions. These are hard realities. In the order of grace, in the order of in the divine mind, it is not the same. You know, God created them man and woman. Male and female, he created them. And in the beginning, it was not so. What evolved in Jesus' time, as he reminded the scribes and the Pharisees, that in the beginning it was not so. Moses gave us a bill of divorce, but Jesus says, in the beginning it was not so. That what God has brought together, man must not separate. In our culture today, there's a lot of separation. In America, there's a lot of annulments. Our marriage prep programs are suffering. Because I think to a degree, we're allowing people to marry today who don't properly understand the word love, don't properly understand what it means to love. That this seems like a good arrangement. This seems like a good partnership. We don't understand what a covenant means. It cannot be broken. And so, unfortunately, we adopt and we add to our way of living and lifestyle this very, you know, kind of meaningless love orientation that I can love all sorts of things. And, you know, I can love multiple people. I love my wife for the first 10 years and then, you know, I don't love her anymore. So I divorce and I get remarried to someone I love. Well, that's not love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. It is not envious. Love is not bitter. It does not hold a grudge. It always forgives. Love always lasts. And so in our marriages, as we confront suffering and we become more like Christ, in our marriages, when we suffer, whether it's a spouse with a terminal illness or an illness, and we see the spouse sacrificing for the good of that spouse, to help that spouse, we see the greatest manifestation of their marriage and in their lovemaking. Truly in that sacrificial element of suffering and carrying out and helping one another to carry their crosses. Right? Simon helping Jesus carry his cross. You see that as a spouse, you know, transfers a spouse from a wheelchair to a seat. You see this played out in a beautiful way. That dies to self, what feels good to me. Appearances don't mean anything anymore. You know, so many of us choose to, you know, we pick our spouse and we're attracted to them at a young age because we're young, we're virile, we're vibrant, got good skin. We got all this. We got nice hair. We got a chiseled body or whatever. And as time goes on, those things become less and less important. But some people who don't grow in love and don't suffer in their love making and their love living, their heart work, their heart giving, they go back to the immature love, which is she doesn't look like she used to. She's not. I'm not as attracted to her anymore. And you see this warped understanding of love and say, well, I still look the same, or I'm even in better shape than I was. But she's really let herself go. Well, gosh, she's had 10 children. Or she's had 6 or 7 children. And you say, well, I don't understand what's going on here. I haven't had a problem. Well, brother, you are not a woman. You are not able to enter into that. How dare you? How sacred a space that is. And you walk all over it. And don't bow in reverence and awe for the beauty of that sacrificial love of a woman who embraces a man in her marriage with sacramental union. And brings forth new life. It changes a woman's body forever. The DNA of those children are in her body. She is changed. And she is not the same. I say to my wife, and if she was listening to this, which I doubt she is right now, I say to her, whenever you're pregnant, you're so attractive to me. There's a glow. You know, you can see a woman who's pregnant. There's a glow about her. But I just, you're so beautiful. It's just this openness, this gospel that's like played out before you. And you grow in love and appreciation for the sacrificial element of what a woman does for a man in a marriage when she's open to life and they're open to life in their marriage and they say yes to life and they bear children together. Oh, it's just life-giving. And so this is the true definition of love. And yet the world just says, no, it doesn't feel good to me anymore. It doesn't feel good anymore. Or she's just not trying anymore. Or you know what? I'm not trying. I've given up. It's not easy for me anymore. It's not supposed to be easy. Love is not supposed. And you know what? There should be a great fear and trembling even as you say that word. It shouldn't become so casual. You know, sometimes you risk something. I mean, when I told my wife the first time I loved her, I risked saying that, knowing that maybe that might not be returned. But you risk nonetheless. You step out in faith and courage and say, this is what I believe, this is what I know. And I step out and I say, whether you agree or whether you submit or to that love or you accept it or receive it or return it, I'm going to say it anyway because it's true for me. It's true for me. It's a feeling that is beyond just, you know, a temporal feeling. It's something you feel innately, inherently. It's in you. It's your whole being that transcends out. And you say, I have to give this. If I don't give it, then I will hemorrhage in some way. And so you offer it to the loved one and you say, I love you, expecting nothing in return, just to say, you're loved and you're loved by me and I want you to know it. And God willing, if she feels the same way, and there's that same understanding, anthropology is the same, and she says, I love you too. It's such a wonderful gift. And so this is what, on this Feast of St. Valentine today, where the priest martyr Valentine tried to restore marriage at a time of persecution when marriage was outlawed in Claudius's empire in Rome in the 3rd century, a man who understood what love was about and that it was a sacrament. That love is a sacrament. It's ratified in a sacrament. It reaches its fullness in a sacrament, whether it's holy orders or matrimony. It is a sacrament. So that's the ultimate. We end this show on the ultimate. To truly know what love is, you must enter into sacramental union as either priest, married man, or consecrated to God, right? There's this element of sacramental that it's exactly what God intended to be. It's the love of God for his church, for Jesus. No greater love as a man than this, and to lay down his life for those he loves. And this is ultimately what we say when we express, I love you, will you be my Valentine? That's ultimately what we want to say to the true, to the beloved, to what our true, to who our true love is. And whether it's Jesus and it should be all of our loves, but in our human relationships, you know, our marriages, our covenants. This is what we're saying with our yes. This is what we're saying with our lives. This is what we're saying in our daily offerings and sacrifices. With 1 minute to go on Facebook Live here in the studio today, it's our first dry run. Hopefully we did all right. We'll continue to do this and bring this footage to the internet. We're bringing love to the airwaves today. So anyhow, I hope it was good. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll probably have in the future time after each program where we can have a little bit of a dialogue, maybe on Facebook Live on the computer. But for now, we're just trying to cut our teeth and get ourselves organized there and figure out how to do all this stuff. But yeah, it's been a great blessing today to come in on the Feast of St. Valentine, Feast of St. Cyril Methodius, to talk about love, to talk about what it means in the lens of the crucifix and what we're all striving for. To do. And so thank you, Frank, for letting me figure this out today. And Justin, who's monitoring us in Missouri. Thanks, brother. You did a good job. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Have a blessed day. Happy Valentine's Day.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.